Yud Gimel Tammuz, Tuesday the 30th of June, Rabbi Mattis Yohu Lawrence, Krishma Al Hamito.
Is Kriya Shema Al Hamito, there is no excuse for falling asleep. There's a pasuk in this week's parsha, Parsha's Balak, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Dalet. The familiar pasuk, but not necessarily familiar what the meaning is. The pasuk says, Hen om kalovi yokum, ucha'ari yisnaso, loy yishkav ad yoichal teref, v'dam chalolim yishte. The pasuk in Parsha's Balak. Rashi on that pasuk explains, when it says this is a praise of Klal Yisrael, this is a praise that Bilam is giving of Klal Yisrael, Rashi says, Loi Yishkav, Klal Yisrael are praised that they do not lie down ad Yoichal Teref. Rashi explains, Belaila, they don't lie down, Belaila al Mitosoi, he doesn't lie down in his bed at night time, ad Shehu Oichel Umchabel Kol Mazik Habor Lotorofoi, until he literally eats or he consumes any mazik or machabel, anything that can come along and hurt him and injure him, damage him in any way. Ketzav, how does he do it? Koirei Shema al mitosoi. He reads Shema al mitosoi. Umafkid ruchoi biyad hamokoyim. And he deposits his nefesh, his neshama, in Hashem's hands. And if a machane, a camp of soldiers, an army, comes along to destroy them, to hurt them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoimrom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them, the Nilcham Milchamoysom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fights their wars, U'mapilom Chalolim, and he gets rid of the enemies. So Rashi is telling us that this praise that Bilam was giving of Klal Yisrael was that one of the things that we do before we go to sleep is that we say Kriya Shema Al Hamita, and that is able to consume and destroy any mazik, any machabal, anything that might come to injure us. So the question and the purpose of the topic of this year is going to be, what is the makor of Kriya Shema Al Hamita? The makor is not this pasuk. This pasuk is just reflecting what we actually do, and it's a praise of Klal Yisrael that we do it. But what is the makor of this? Where do we see this in Chazal? What exactly does Kriya Shema Al Hamita constitute? What's it made up of? And various different halachas that are associated to this. Now, Kriya Shema that we say Al Hamita is actually divided into really three sections. I'm not giving any specific order at this point, because there's various different opinions as to the order of how we're meant to do it. But it comprises Kriya Shema, and then there's a question of how much of Kriya Shema. It also comprises various Tehillim and Psukim that we say. And it also comprises the Bracha of Hamapil. So there's a question exactly which order we do all these things, and there's reasons for all the different opinions, and we'll come across that a little bit later on. But let's start with the Gemara in Brachas Daf Dalet Omud Beis. Gemara in Brachas Daf Dalet Omud Beis says the following thing. Omar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, Rabbi Shur ben Levi said, Afa pisha kora odom kriya shema beis haknesses. Even though a person has already said kriya shema in the beis haknesses, he's already daven mariv, whether he's daven mariv after nacht, or whether he's daven mariv before nacht, mitzvah likroisoi al mitosoi. It is a mitzvah for a person to lay in Kriya Shema, to say the Kriya Shema al mitosoi, literally on his bed. We see the poskim say it doesn't necessarily mean on your bed, it's close to your bed, but the mitzvah is, according to Rabbi Shur ben Levi, even though you've already said Kriya Shema in shul, during Mariv, there is a mitzvah likroisoi al mitosoi. There's a mitzvah to read Kriya Shema on your bed. The moral continues, Omarav Asi, or some people are going with Rav Yosef, my crow, what is the pasuk where we see this from? And it quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, which we actually say during the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, towards the end, so therefore we're familiar with it. Rigzu v'al techeto. Imru b'vavchem, al mishkavchem, v'doinu selot. Rashi explains, Imru b'vavchem, say b'vavchem. What's b'vavchem? Where do we find the expression levavacho or levavchem? We find that in Kriya Shema. So Imru b'levavchem. Rashi says, Imru masha kosov al levavecho. Say that parsha, which includes within it the words al levavecho. Al mishkavchem. Say it on your bed. Shenema, says Rashi, b'shoch b'cho. It says in the Shema that you have to say the Shema literally b'shoch b'cho. So we know that means at the time when a person goes to bed. But with Gemara is also darshaning from here that it means when you go to bed as well. V'doimu. The pasuk completes and finishes off by saying v'doimu sad. What does v'doimu mean? V'doimu means. What does v'doimu mean? Keep quiet. Okay. You go to sleep. You're silent. So therefore, the pasuk has told us there was an Indian to say Kriya Shema on your bed, and then v'doimu, and then you go to sleep. And that's the pasuk the Gemara brings as the makoy for Kriya Shema al Amita. The Gemara continues there in Brachos. Omar Rav Nachman, im Talmid Chacham hu, ein tzorich. If the person is a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need to say Kriya Shema al Hamita. If the person is a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't need to say it. Why not? Why does a Talmud Chacham not need to say Kriya Shema al Hamita? By the way, before anybody makes jumps to any conclusions, the Poskim say that we don't have a Talmud Chacham bizman hazeh, as far as this halacha is concerned. And therefore everyone has to say it. Nobody can bracket themselves as a Talmud Chacham and excuse himself from this mitzvah, because we don't have a Talmud Chacham this man azeh for the purposes of this mitzvah. So Rashi explains why is it that a Talmud Chacham is exempt according to the Gemara. It says Rashi, Sherogel b'mishnosoi lachzor al girsosoi tomid. We're talking about somebody who always does chazora on his learning. Right? So you can't become a Talmud Chacham unless you do Chazorah. You have to do constant Chazorah on your learning. It says Rashi, Dayoi Bekach. Dayoi Bekach. It's sufficient. It's sufficient, the very fact that he does Chazorah on his learning, which I understand to mean that either generally the Chazorah gives him an extra protection, because it's an extra measure of Limud HaTorah, which it allows a person to succeed in his Torah learning. Or you could possibly say, when he's falling asleep, he's thinking and learning. And therefore the protection, which we're going to see what this is all about in a minute, the protection which is offered by Kriya Shema is offered also by Limud HaTorah and specifically Chazorah, and that is why a Talmud Chacham is exempt, because he's able to think and learning whether it's during the day or whether he's going to sleep, and that is something which will offer him the same protection as Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, Omar Abaya, Af Talmud Chacham Iboya Leilamei Machad Psuka Derachmei. But even a Talmud Chacham, although he's basically exempt from the rest of Kriya Shema, nevertheless, he has to say one posuk of Rachamim, Kegoin, Beyodcho, Afkidruchi, Padisoisi, Hashem, Kein Emes, which is in Tehillim Lamed Aleph. He has to say at least one posuk of Rachamim. That much he has to say, because he has to appreciate that he's putting his hands, his Meshoma, in the hands of Hashem during the night time. So Rabbeinu Yoina, Talmud Rabbeinu Yoina, the Gemara then Brachos explains, adding a little bit of an extra dimension, why is it that a Talmud Chacham is exempt? So he says, Mishum the Torosoi, right? Misham Rosoi, the Torah is Mishamer him, the Torah protects him. And then the Gemara brings two other Ma'amorim as to the tremendous benefits of Kriya Shema al Amita. Two Ma'amorim from Rabbi Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaKoyre Kriya Shema al Mitosoi. Anybody who learns Kriya Shema on his bed, it's as though he's holding a dual-edged sword in his hand. In other words, he can protect himself from any mazikim that will come. And we'll explain what these mazikim are in a minute. But Omar Rav Yitzchak, kalakoyre kriya shema al mitosoi, anybody who lays kriya shema on his bed, mazikim bedilim himenu. The mazikim flee, they run away from the person, they go away. And there's a similar Gemara in the Yerushalmi, which says, Rav Huna Omar b'shem of Yosef, Ma tam omu tzorich odom nikroi kriya shema be'erev. Why did they say you have to say kriya shema at night time? Obviously he's not talking about during Maariv, because the Torah says, so he's talking about the kriya shema al amita, b'shvil lahavriach hamazikim. In order to make the mazikim flee, make the mazikim run away. So what exactly are these mazikim? We talk about mazikim, what are mazikim? So I found two different basic pshatim, what it means, the mazikim. The Aruch HaShulchan says that there are mazikim around, which we know, shindalad, the Gemara mentions about it, many different places, different type of bria, the Kosh Baruch Hu, like the Kosh Baruch Hu created human beings, he created malachim, he also created things called shindalads. And shindalads are also called mazikim. And these mazikim can come upon a person, and they can bring a person to impure thoughts, and that can bring a person to tumah. And therefore, what we want to do when we're going to sleep at night is to get rid of these mazikim and make sure that our shechiva and our sleeping is b'taharo. That's the idea which the Chashulchan and others explain. So the mazikim we're trying to get rid of are hirhurim royim, as we actually say in the brach of Hamapil. We're trying to get rid of hirhurim royim, things which will cause bad thoughts. There is another explanation, which I saw in the Me'iri. And the Me'iri there says that during the daytime, I'm just elaborating a little bit on what he's saying, during the daytime, a person is subject to all kinds of different influences, different deos, different opinions, different things that he experiences during the day, some of which, well, unfortunately, in the society, in the world that we live in, are not necessarily in keeping with Das HaTorah, with Hashkofas HaTorah. A person is bombarded the entire time with all kinds of different things. And we know the way that our mind works is that we process information, and that happens a lot during when a person goes to sleep. So we want to make sure, what we need to ensure at the time we're going to sleep, says the Me'iri, is to be miyachid shem Hashem, to make sure that we go to sleep with the right deus in our head, with the right opinions in our head. And therefore, the very last thing that we do before we go to sleep is to be miyachid Hashem, to be makabal oy malchus shamayim, and say Shema. And therefore, when a person goes to sleep, he's made sure that psychologically his mind is in the right frame before he goes to sleep. And that will help him during the nighttime when his mind is processing all the information. He won't be submerged and he won't be influenced by any negative opinions and experiences that he's had during the daytime. That's how Ramiri explains it. Now, what exactly it is that we say during the Kriyat Shema al-Amitah, there's a Gemara in Shavuos, there's a Mishnah in Shavuos, Masechta Shavuos, which is talking about, it's a completely unrelated subject, it's talking about there, about the halacha of Maisifin al-Ha'ir. If Beis Din wants to enlarge Yerushalayim, so there's a whole process how they have to enlarge Yerushalayim. There's various things that they have to do. They have to have a Novi, they have to have an Urim V'Tumim, you have to have a Sanhedrin for 71 people. And one of the things the Mishnah says is that when they would do the process of enlarging, expanding Yerushalayim, it had to be Bashir. It had to be amongst song, amongst singing. And the Gemara explains, Gemara there, Tesvav and Shavuos, what exactly are we talking about? What type of Shirim are we talking about? And it mentions the following thing. Something which is called the Shir Shel Pegoyim, the Yesh Oimim, Shir Shel Negoim. Gemara talks about the Shir Shel Pegoyim and the Shir Shel Negoyim. And the Gemara goes on to explain that this is Yoshev B'Seser Elyoim, which we're, that Tehillim, which we're familiar with, which is Tadi Aleph, I think. Yeah, we're familiar with that Tehillim. Yoshev B'Seser Elyoim. So that's something else that you have to say. That's something you have to say when you're enlarging Yerushalayim. So what's that got to do with our topic? So the Gemara continues an interesting thing. The B'Shua Ben Levi Oimer, the B'Shua Ben Levi says, and just notice that it's the same person, the B'Shua Ben Levi, who was the one who told us in the Gemara in Brochus that you have to say Kriya Shema. So it's the same man, the Omar. And he says, Gemara says over there, the B'Shua Ben Levi, Omar Lehu Lahani Kroi, Gani. He would say these psukim, that means Yoshe Pesesa, and then he would go to sleep. So you see from there that he would add on these psukim, at least Yoshe Pesesa, when he would go to sleep. So that is a makoyah for why we say Yoshe Pesesa. Now, the Gemara asks an interesting question there. Gemara asks, Heichi Ovid Hochi. Okay? How could he do such a thing? Why was he saying these things? He was saying, obviously, for the protection which these psukim actually offer a person when he goes to sleep. So why was he saying it? Fred the Gemara, how could he say it? V'ha'amar Abishua ben Levi, also lehisrapois v'divrei Torah. That very same Amoira says it is forbidden for a person to use Torah to heal themselves. You want to heal yourself, you go to a doctor. But you can't use Torah to heal yourself. So surely healing and protection is the same sort of thing. So how could he say psukim to heal him with the intention to protect himself from mazikim? So the Gemara answers, lahogein shani. If you're doing it to protect yourself, then it's different. If a person, Rashi explains, if you have a mako, if a person has a wound, then, or an illness, chas v'sholem, Then you go to a doctor. You can't use Divrei Torah to say any psukim to try and cure yourself. Why? Because the wound is there, the illness is there. To use Torah to protect yourself, you're not allowed to do. But to ward off damage, a person is allowed to. To protect oneself, a person is allowed to use Torah or psukim. And therefore, that's the chat. How come Rav Shmuel ben Levi could say these words when he went to bed, the psukim? To protect himself, one is permitted to use Divrei Torah or Tanakh, for that matter, to protect oneself. Now, the Gemara says, there's a Gemara in Perek Haroya, Daf Samach in Brochet, Hanichnas Lishoin al Mitosoi, somebody who goes to sleep on his bed, Oimer Mishma ad Vohoya im Shamoya. So, how would you interpret that? It says, he says, Shema until Vohoya im Shamoya. So, what would you say that means? Is it inclusive or exclusive of Vohoya Shamoya? It's exclusive. He says Vohoya, he says Shema. Most Mishnayim like it means exclusive. Vohoya ad. It says Shema ad Vohoya Shamoya. So it means up until you get to Vohoya Shamoya. In other words, normally, when a person davens in Shul, a person says Kriya Shema in Shul, you're saying all three parshas of Kriya Shema. When it comes to going to sleep at night, you say Shema ad Vohoya im Shamoya. And that's how most of the Rishonim learn. Rabbi Elchanan.
Does it not depend on the Shema Bismanah?
Oh, good point. We'll get there in a second. Rabbi Elchanan says, he has a, seemingly has a different Gersa, and he says in that Gemara, Hanichnas Lishon Mitosoi, Oimer Shema V'Hoyo in Shemaya. Right? He says both. Right? V'Hoyo in Shemaya. He says both. So therefore, there's a machlekes in Rishonim over here, whether you have to say just the first parasha of Kriya Shema or the second parasha. There is a third shita, third opinion, which is brought in Sefer Hayira. Sefer Hayira is from Rabbi Yoina, and he writes over there that you have to say all three parashas of Kriya Shema. Why? Because in total there's 248 words, including Kel Melech Naaman in the beginning, and that protects all the 248 Evorim of a person. So therefore, there's three different opinions what you have to say. The first parsha, first the second parsha, or all three parshas. And the poskim bring down, Mishabura recommends that one does say all three parshas. Some poskim, poskim bring down, if you haven't said Kriya Shema after Nacht, for example, you daven Maariv before Nacht, then you definitely have to say all three parshas after Nacht, because you have to make sure you're Yotzei the Mitzvah. What we're saying is that even if you did daven Maariv after Nacht, and you did say the whole of Kriya Shema after Nacht, there are still opinions that say one should say all three parashas of Shema, even though you davened after Nacht, because in total it's 248 Evorim of a person, and the 248 words protect those Evorim.
Can you leave it to Gatchile to say Kriya Shema if you davened before Nacht?
Hoiskim say that, I wouldn't say the word Lachatchila, but... because a person often goes to bed late and he falls asleep and in the middle of Kriya Shema, and you might lose out on a mitzvah sasedu or isa, according to many Rishonim, because you've said it before Nacht, according to many Rishonim you have not been yoitzer, so therefore you have to say it again, and you're likely to fall asleep, so it's kedai not to leave it until then, whenever Nacht is, then to say it at that point. Now, there's an Inyan, which we all know about, that once you've said...
the whole Christmas just before you go to bed, you've said the first parsha again when you actually go to bed?
No, you wouldn't have to, no. Now, there's an Inyan we all know about, that once you have said Kriya Shema Lamita, and definitely once you've said Hamapil, not to speak or eat or drink. Where did this come from? So the Beis Yosef brings down from the Kolboy says the following things. Nogu Kol Yisrael, all of Yisrael have a minig. That we don't eat, drink, or speak after Kriya Shema. Sha'imrim al mitosom, that you say on your bed. The somchu ahaikro. And the source for this is the following pasuk. The same pasuk that we said before. Imru bivavchem al mishkavchem, which we said is Kriya Shema. V'doy misela. Keep quiet. So once you've said it, you're going to sleep. Right? Keep quiet. And therefore, the halacha is brought down in Mishabura, in Shulchan Aruch, that one shouldn't speak or eat or drink afterwards. I'll give you a couple of exceptions to that towards the end of the shiur. What happens if a person can't sleep? Right? You said Kriya Shema Lamito, and you can't sleep. It's very difficult to sleep. So this is not a new problem. It's an old problem. Gemara brings in Yerushalmi that Rabbi Zeira had this problem, right? He found it difficult to fall asleep. His stomach was learning the whole time, his mind was active with his learning from the whole day, and he couldn't fall asleep. So the Gemara says, what he would do was, he would say Kriya Shema over and over again, Kama Pa'amim, Ad Shemishtakeya B'Sheina, until he became submerged and fell asleep properly. So we see there's an Indian to say Kriya Shema over and over again, until a person falls asleep. Some poskim can bring a raya from there, that you see from here, the Kriya Shema has to be at the end. Yeah, because if he was saying it over and over again, it's mashma that the last thing that you say, of the whole Seder Hadvarim over here, is Kriya Shema, and when he couldn't fall asleep, he would just repeat. It's mashma that the Shema is meant to be at the end. Okay.
Not count
sheet. So now, doesn't say count sheet, no. Other poskim do bring down a similar kind of idea, not counting sheep, but thinking of waves. It's brought down the Sforim to think of waves of the sea, and by that relaxes the person will fall asleep. So the similar kind of idea. Okay, so now, halacha l'maisa, what do we do? So the Shulchan Aruch says in similar ratio of the mess, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you should say, parsha rishoina shel kriya shema. In other words, of the kriya shema, of the three parshas, you only have to say the first parsha. Rishabura says, if you daven Maariv before Nacht, then you have to say all three parshias, two of them because of the Zman, yeah? The Zman of Laila, the first two parshias of the Shema has to be Balaila, and the third parsha of Kriya Shema, Tzitzis, mentions Zechiras, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, and that also has to be Balailois, that we say in the Haggadah. So therefore, you have to do that after Nacht as well. So therefore, if you daven Maariv before Nacht, one definitely has to say all three parshias of Shema, at least after Nacht, but if you haven't said it after Nacht, then when you go to bed. And then, as I said before, Mishapur recommends that a person always says all three parashas of Shema because of the 248 words which protect the 248 limbs of a person. Now, regarding the order, you notice in some Sidurim they put Hamapil at the beginning, and some Sidurim they put Hamapil at the end. Okay? And by the way, the source for Hamapil is a Gemara, which we haven't got so much time to go through, but the source of saying Hamapil is a Gemara. And the shaila is, where do you say it? Do you say it first or do you say it at the end? So the Shulchan Aruch is mashma that you say Shema first, and then you say Hamapil, and then you say all the psukim that we say afterwards, the Tehillim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is mashma. The Mishnah Berurah brings Yesh Medaktikin to say Hamapil at the end. In other words, Shema followed by the psukim, followed by Hamapil. So there shouldn't be any hefsek between the bracha of Hamapil and going to sleep. And Yesh Achroinim says a Mishnah Berurah who say that you should say Hamapil first, then Kriya Shema, and then all the psukim. And we don't worry about the fact that you're saying psukim after the bracha. We don't regard it as a hefsek because it's all part of the same inyan. Okay? So now, the Maisa, what does the person do? The Mishnah Berurah says you should do what according to your teva. Okay? What does that mean? If you're a person who falls asleep easily, I'm sure there are some here, maybe that happens too, right? The process is to make sure you said Hamapil first, because that seems to be the most important, and you don't want to fall asleep not having said Hamapil over here, so therefore say Hamapil first. If you're a person who can keep yourself awake all the way through, then you leave Hamapil to the end. Now, what happens, I'll give you an interesting shaila, what happens if a person is on a long-haul journey, and he's flying overnight to America or back from America, and he's going through a long night journey, so he's sleeping for a good few hours on the aeroplane. What should he do? Does he say Kriya Shema L'Mita? Because that's his mita, and it's also it's miyuchad for sleeping, because these planes are designed for people to sleep there overnight. They turn out the lights and everyone goes to sleep. So for all intents and purposes, what is it? It's a bed. So the poskim say, I've seen a few poskim who write, that you say Kriya Shema L'Mita, if you know that you're going to be able to sleep properly, right? If you assume you're going to be able to sleep properly, they're turning out the lights, it's a good few, at least a half an hour, but probably, a few hours the sleep is going to be, then you say Hamapil with Shema Malchus, you say a proper bracha. Now, to conclude with an interesting shaila, and this is a shaila which a lot of people are mistaken about. I've heard from many, many people a big mistake. People think to themselves that, well, I don't know if I'm going to fall asleep right away, and therefore, I don't have to say Kriya Shema, or I don't have to say Hamapil, because I'm not going to fall asleep right away. I'm not quite sure where this mistake comes from. But the idea is, if a person really doesn't think they're going to fall asleep, so then fine. So then don't say the bracha of Hamapil. You can say Kriya Shema, you can say Psukim, there's nothing wrong with that. The question is the bracha itself. Now, what is this bracha? The bracha that we say, Hamapil. Is it a bracha on you going to sleep? Or is it a bracha on the fact that people go to sleep? Right, you hear the chakira? Is it a bracha on you going to sleep? Or is it a bracha on the fact that people, teva minhaga shel olam, is that people go to sleep? So there seems to be a bit of a machlokes about this. There are a minority of opinions that hold that it's a bracha on you going to sleep. And the Mishnah Berurah actually seems to hold like this. It's a bracha on you going to sleep. How do you know that it's a bracha on you going to sleep? Because the bracha is, Hamapel chevni sheino al einoi, on my eyes, usanuma al afapoi. So I'm going to sleep. It's speaking about me, my eyes. I'm going to sleep. So therefore they say that if you know there's a good possibility you're not going to go to sleep, then you can't make the bracha. Because the bracha is on you going to sleep. And if you're not going to go to sleep, or you might not go to sleep, you can't say the bracha. That's what a minority of poskim hold. The Chayodom holds not like that. And many, many poskim, the majority of poskim hold not like that. And they say that the bracha is on minhogoi shel oilom. Just like the brachos hashacha that we say in the morning, even if you didn't hear a sechvi making a loud noise in the morning, nevertheless, you make the bracha, because the bracha, chazal musakin al min hoga yishal oilam. And therefore, the bracha of Hamapil is said on the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu gave us this special gift that we go to sleep. It doesn't matter if you might not go to sleep at that point. So the majority of poskim say that even if you are somebody who might not go to sleep right away, or you might not fall asleep at all, nevertheless, you say this bracha. There's an interesting raya for this, the Vilna Gaon, talking about a similar situation we're all familiar with. Erev Pesach, when we're doing Bedikas Chometz, there's a ganze shaila in the poskim whether you make the bracha al Bedikas Chometz if you know that you're not going to find Chometz. If you've cleaned your house for the last 6 weeks before Pesach and you know you're not going to find Chometz, so there's a shaila, can you make the bracha on Bedikas al Biel Chometz? So what do? What's the minig? We put out pieces of bread so that the bracha should not be levatola. But many poskim hold that that's not necessary. And the Gaon brings a raya. The Gaon brings a raya that it doesn't matter that perhaps you might not find chometz. And the raya the Gaon brings is from this bracha over here. He says, the halacha is that you can make hamapil even though you might not go to sleep. So the bracha, chazal or masake, that you have to make it. It doesn't matter the outcome of whether you will fall asleep or whether you won't fall asleep. And the Gaon brings a raya from there to bedikas chometz. It doesn't matter if you will find chometz or not. So we see that the Gaon held that when it comes to hamapil, it doesn't matter if you might not fall asleep. That doesn't matter. You can still make the bracha. And Aruch HaShulchan says also the halacha is that even if you're not going to fall asleep or you might not fall asleep, you can still make the bracha.
What's been the exceptions you were
trying to... Finally, I've got half a minute here, so go complete here with the inion of the exceptions. Although a person should not ideally speak or eat or drink after you have said Kriya Shema and Hamapil, definitely Hamapil. Mishnah Berurah says Yizahir, you should be careful. Other poskim are more lenient about it, and they say if there is a dovar nochutz, a very important thing, or a person is very hungry, or a person is very thirsty, or a person suddenly realizes that after Hamapil he said Hamapil, he didn't daven Maariv, or he didn't say Kiddush Levona, or he didn't count Sfirah Sa'omer, he's allowed to do any of those things after Hamapil if it is completely necessary. But you should be masada yourself before you've said Kriya Shema and before you've said Hamapil. Try and make sure that you've done everything that you need to do. That's the ideal. In the event that a person hasn't, and it's very important, you haven't done a Maariv or something, or you haven't said Kriyash, you haven't said Tzvirsa Omer, or whatever it is that you need to drink, then one is allowed to in that situation. I'll leave you off with a question. And this is a question that Rishonim deal with, which is the following. Do we make a bracha on Kriya Shema al Hamita? Besides Hamapil, if it's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema al Hamita, so why don't we make a bracha? Sheh kiddushonu b'mitzvah b'tzvonu al Kriya Shema al Hamita. Or lekabel oy malchus shamayim, or something to that effect. So there are, interestingly, some Rishonim who bring down such a bracha. The Abu Dram brings such a bracha. The Kolboy brings a bracha in the name of the Rambam, although we don't find it in the Rambam himself. And other poskim held that there was a bracha to say on going to bed, on the Kriya Shema. The Kabbal O Malchus Shemaim, some kind of bracha like that. However, there are more paskins that we don't make such a bracha. The question is, why not? Shabura says it's not enough of a mitzvah the Rabbonon to be Machayev a bracha. Some poskim want to suggest, based on the Tosfos in Chulin, that just like you don't make a bracha on Mayim Achroinim, because Mayim Achroinim is lahatzola, is to prevent you from becoming damaged by melech sodomis. In the same way, you don't make a bracha on something which is hatzola over there, you don't make a bracha on this which is a hatzola, it's a hatzola from a person from mazikin. That's what some of the poets can say, but I'll leave you with that question. What is the reason why we don't make a bracha on Kriya Shema Al Amita?